Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Getting to know members of my staff a little better. Got some soccer fans on this staff. Discover that Cristiano Ronaldo has 230 million followers on Instagram. Twice as many as LeBron James. That surprises me. Ariana Grande has more Instagram followers than practically anyone you could ever imagine. And alphabetically, that comes on my Instagram directly in front of Ariel Helwani, who has far fewer. So it turns out, being an international pop star gets you more followers than being an MMA reporter for ESPN. So we're learning things every single day. I'm Greeny, and I've got an interesting poll question up on my Twitter page, which is at ESPN Greeny. And the question is, who's the best running mate LeBron James has ever had in the NBA? Was it Dwayne Wade? Was it Kyrie Irving? Or is it Anthony Davis, with whom he is now one game away from a trip back to the NBA Finals? And there's no one I know who loves basketball more than Ryan Clark, who joins me now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. RC, we'll get to the football, but I'm starting by putting you on the spot. Which is the best of the running mates that LeBron has won a championship with?
They're all exactly the same, Greeny. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's why. They were all the perfect running mate for where LeBron James was in his career. When LeBron James went to D-Wade, he needed a leader. He needed someone who understood winning championships. He needed to not have to be the alpha male. Dwayne Wade was that, allowed LeBron James to grow. With Kyrie Irving, he needed a number two that had number one finishing skills, number one offensive skills. He was that. Now he needs a player who's actually more talented at this time in their career, more athletic, can do more than he can offensively and defensively for an entire part of the game, and he gets Anthony Davis. So in the sense, LeBron James is perfect at picking his running mate. I think the most important one was Dwayne Wade. Without Dwayne Wade, I don't think LeBron James ends up being in this place. But for at the time that he needed every guy, he had the perfect running mate. And so for right now, Anthony Davis is it.
It's a really interesting way to look at it. And I think you're right in everything you just said. Can I ask you something else, actually? It just occurred to me, because I think most people know, anyone who follows you on Twitter knows, and certainly I know because you've mentioned it a million times, that you have spent this summer binge-watching and then re-watching The Last Dance 30 for 30 about Michael. And what is it that fascinates you so? Like, you at this point have gotten to a place, and this is not a criticism, I love it, but you probably cite it on Get Up every single day. There's reference to it that you see, and they're good references. They I don't mean that in a bad way, but what is it about it that has fascinated you so much?
One, he's my favorite athlete ever. You know, I talked, you know, when I met Isaiah Thomas, you know, I told him about how much my dad loved him, but how much he made me cry because when the Pistons would beat the Chicago Bulls, my dad would chase me around our little house singing Bad Boys as I cried and I walked to my room. And so, like, I was always fascinated with that part of Michael Jordan. I think the other thing was the competitor. The dude that actually lied to himself about another player saying, "Nice game, Mike," so he could go eat his face the next game. The fact that he pushed his teammates, but the one thing I remember, like the most vivid picture on that entire documentary to me, was Michael Jordan winning the line drills at practice. I think for someone to focus on his craft in a way that it wasn't just about the work being put in, it was about excelling and actually like demolishing the hopes of other people. I found it fascinating. And so like I just keep watching it to hear him talk about the way he approached other people. Because, right, like, you listen to Kobe talk about how he approached the game, Greeny, and he's the most fascinating I've ever listened to talk about how they approached the game. Michael Jordan approached people. It was, okay, I'm going to attack the Pistons, and so I'm going to work this way because of how John Sally and Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer treat me in the post. Okay, Karl Malone won the MVP, so I'm going to attack him this way. Charles Barkley, oh, you like Dan Majerle. Oh, Tony Kukoc. He was totally driven by his innate want and need to dominate humans. And I just find that fascinating. So I just keep watching it, and I find new things. And because I watch it so much, I see stuff that happens in life now, and I was like, oh, this is like on The Last Dance, or they should look at this like The Last Dance, because I believe every athlete in the world should look at life the way Michael Jordan did. And then you can go buy you a NASCAR team.
And a lot of and a basketball team and a lot of other things. What football player did you ever play with who was like that? Like if there was one player you played with that was the most like that, who was it?
It would probably be James Harrison. From a standpoint, and what was crazy is James didn't really look at, like, he didn't like love football the way I did. Like if you would come into a room and talk about, oh, did you see what happened in the Patriots game? James Harrison couldn't tell you that. Like, he didn't watch football in that way. He wasn't a football historian. James Harrison was a destroy people type guy. James Harrison was, okay, we saw, you know, when Coach was talking about film last week, he talked about how great this tackle was, or he talked about how tough this wide receiver was, or last year Josh Cribbs embarrassed us on Thursday night in Cleveland. Like, that dude was going to be hunted, and you knew it. That quarterback or that tackle or that running back, there was a high probability, at least until they changed the rules, that dude at some point was going to have to be on the sideline getting some trainer's assistance. And I always thought, like, that's why I loved him. He was an undrafted free agent, which I'm sure most people forget now. He was cut 5 times. He was cut by the Ravens. He was cut by the Steelers. And so for him, it was a personal vendetta to demolish, embarrass, totally dominate the person in front of him. And, you know, all of us don't have the traits to do it, but James did, man. And it was a blessing for me playing safety, because I knew somebody was going to get hurt and there was going to be a ball badly thrown or popped up in the air because of something he did that totally embarrassed another human.
Greeny and RC were presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 in average. Before I get to the stuff I meant to, you said one fascinating thing on TV this morning. For anyone who didn't hear it, because you made me think of it when you just mentioned that James Harrison was an undrafted free agent, came into the league, and that's how you came into the league as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the observation that first-round picks, guys who get drafted really early, they have to work very hard to prove they can't play. And mm-hmm. guys who are undrafted free agents have to work very hard to prove they can play. And that sometimes is an interesting window, important window into the mentality that they approach the game with. And we see it. I don't even remember what the context of it was this morning, but I thought it was a really interesting thought.
Yeah. Troy, I forget why I brought it up today, but Troy Aikman was kind of talking about it in the game last night, and he kind of fumbled over it because I think one, because he's, you know, he's top pick, and so he never had to deal with that reality. But Greeny, even after, so the year I got sick was 07. The year before was my first year in Pittsburgh, and I played really well. I won a battle for the position. I played really well. I think up until the time I got hurt, I was leading the team in tackles. I had turnovers. I was the best DB that season. I get hurt. Another guy that they drafted who was, you know, he was bigger, he was stronger, they felt like he was more athletic. He plays the last 4 games. We come into the next season, the season I get sick, we're in a battle. Like, they tell us, you know, you guys are going to compete. I win, clearly. And when they bring us in to tell us about how we're going to play, they say, Ryan, you won the position, but we're still going to work him in. We're still going to give him snaps. And I told him, I said, hey, had he won, you wouldn't give me snaps. So I get sick at the end of that year. We become a bad defense, you know, while I was out. Troy missed some games too. And I remember walking into the facility when I was finally cleared to work out and having the DB coach tell me, you know what, like, we didn't really understand or respect what you were until you almost died. You know, so it took me battling for my life and the defense not playing well for people to say, oh, we might need this guy. Oh, this guy can play. And that's what it's like. But then you see first round picks who flame out in one place, they get another chance because people can't forget how they viewed that person when they were coming out of school. But people also know that if 32 teams passed on you for 7 rounds, then in some way you must be defective. In some way, there has to be a deficiency. So when you don't play well, they immediately go back to that. But whereas a first rounder, they're like, hey, we remember all these things you can do. Oh, the next team is going to get it out of him. Or this coach, I can make him be what we thought he was going to be. And those are things you fight your entire career. If you're an undrafted free agent and if you're a first rounder, you got to prove over and over again that you can't do it.
It's a really interesting thought. I really liked it this morning. I like it again now. Greeny and Ryan Clark was with me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gas. All right, let's look at the games. Dallas and Seattle, Sunday afternoon, is a fascinating matchup to me. And we talked so much about Dak Prescott in the mornings. If they get into a shootout, if Dak finds himself in a shootout with Russell the way they sort of did last week with Matt Ryan, do you think Dak can match Russell Wilson this Sunday, punch for punch, if that's what that game comes down to?
Man, it's Greeny, you've been putting me on the spot a lot today. I think he can. I think Russell Wilson is better. I know Russell Wilson is a better player. But when I look at what Atlanta was able to do with the air against Seattle, you look at what Cam Newton was able to do, and this is a guy that 32 teams passed on, and the Patriots got him off the clearance rack. And also with wide receivers, we barely even know, other than Julian Edelman, they put up 396 passing. Now, you go back to this team in the offseason, all we talked about with the Dallas Cowboys were the weapons that they had. And then they show what they showed against the Atlanta Falcons. I believe that they can stay in the game. I believe that they can put up yardage. I believe they can put up points. And that can go throw for throw with Russell Wilson. But here's what it's going to be. There's going to come a point in this game where you're going to have to make winning football plays. Russell Wilson has done that. He has shown that on the highest level. That's where Dak is going to make his money. That's where Dak is going to prove his point. Can he make the winning football plays at the end of the game while playing against a guy like Russell Wilson?
We're going to see. To me, that's one of the most interesting matchups of the weekend. And then that game will end, and you'll have a little time to, you know, get yourself a little dinner, whatever it is you like to do. And then, boom, we go right into Green Bay and New Orleans on Sunday night, which is Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees. Let me ask you the question this way. We've talked a lot about how good Brees hasn't looked through 2 weeks. And they're going to put a positive face on it because that's what they should do. And Brees is going to say he remains totally confident because that's what he should say. But down deep inside, they see what we see. How concerned, if you were to inject Sean Payton with truth serum right now, how concerned do you think he really is about the way Brees has looked through 2 weeks?
I think he's extremely concerned because Sean Payton is an extremely intelligent coach, an extremely high IQ offensive mind. And I think what he's going to have to start asking himself is Drew Brees going to be the reason we don't win a Super Bowl this year? Because if you go back 2 years ago, Philadelphia almost beats him because Brees has a bad game. Alshon Jeffrey pops the ball up in the air. Obviously, you have the no PI call on the Rams, but he throws an interception in overtime. You go back to last year, Minnesota Vikings, divisional round, outplayed by Kirk Cousins. And then you start this season this way. A lot of people are going to say those weren't Drew Brees' fault. But coming into this season, the Saints were a Super Bowl favorite of many. And Sean Payton has to be asking himself, is playing Drew Brees now at the age 40, 41 going to keep this team that we felt had a window the last 3 or 4 years to win it from winning the Super Bowl this year? And I believe if he's honest with himself, these 2 weeks may not have shown it. But if we see the same thing against the Green Bay Packers without Mike Thomas, he's going to have that answer that Drew Brees will be the reason that the Saints aren't Super Bowl champions in 2020.
Greeny and RC, one more for you, Ryan, and that is the game we're all waiting for, which is Monday night, which is Kansas City at Baltimore, and that's Monday Night Football, so the bright lights and the primetime stage for these two extraordinary young quarterbacks, and you, no one needs me to tell you all the things they've done. They're, you know, the last two MVPs in the league and everything else, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. So I guess I would ask you the question this way. What do we think decides that game? I think we figure they'll both play well. So what do you think ultimately is the difference in that game?
It's going to be the defense, right? And I think the Baltimore Ravens have the better defense. When you look at what they've been since acquiring Marcus Peters, whoever knew that getting Marcus Peters, the dude that went into the stands in New York, that was going crazy in Los Angeles, has settled down the Baltimore Ravens, one of the great franchises of the last decade. And if they can make plays on the ball, Greeny, this team is going to play man-to-man. They're going to blitz Patrick Mahomes. So that's going to give us an opportunity to see two things. We're either going to see great secondary play by Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, or we are going to see Pat Mahomes go crazy. That's what we want. That's what we signed up for, right? You know, I look at the Monday night schedule, and sometimes I'm mad because I feel like the NFL hates ESPN, but they gave us one. That's this is the week. And I know, you know, Lamar Jackson played it cool, which I thought was funny. He's like, you know, I'm not playing them. My defense has to play them. No, you absolutely are playing Patrick Mahomes, and you have the advantage. Your offense is exponentially better than their defense, the Kansas City Chiefs, to me. I feel like the Baltimore Ravens can play with Kansas City. So if we, on Tuesday morning, Greeny, when you wake up and when y'all have y'all 6 o'clock meeting, what we could be talking about is an offensive explosion by Patrick Mahomes, or you could be in a meeting saying, I can't believe the Baltimore Ravens did that to the Kansas City Chiefs and that quarterback. And that's exciting to me. And you, I think you read a stat this morning that Lamar Jackson regular season is what, 21-1 against everybody else, and 0-2 against Kansas City. That's big time, man. That's what you want to see. And if these defenses, if the Baltimore Ravens defense steps up and stops Patrick Mahomes in this offense, I think it changes the entire landscape of the way we see the AFC. Because for me, it's like, yeah, the Baltimore Ravens are the best, but Kansas City got Patrick Mahomes. This will go a long way to telling me that, hey, it doesn't matter if they have Patrick Mahomes or not. Baltimore is the team.
This was great. Thank you so much, Ryan. I'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
My man, have a great week, Greeny.
All right, I can't wait to see you Monday. That's the great RC, Ryan Clark, who was terrific this morning and has been and is just as good with this stuff as anybody. And we look forward to what should be a great football weekend. All right, quickly, I want to tell you about an anniversary that is going to blow your mind. Today is the anniversary of two different things that happened on the same day. One of them, I think, is important to everyone. The other one is particularly important to me. 20 years ago today, and we don't have the rights to show it to you because it happened in the Olympics, but 20 years ago today is the day that Vince Carter dunked the ball by jumping over Frederick Weiss. And anyone who has ever seen it, and if you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about, go on Twitter and just Google Vince Carter, or Google something on Twitter, but you know what I mean. Search Vince Carter and just enjoy it. I wish I could show it to you, but we're not allowed to. But it is. I mean, we have Vince now. He works for us at ESPN. He's on my show twice a week. When I asked him, what's the greatest dunk of your career? He started to laugh. Like, there isn't any question what is the greatest dunk of his career in a game or the dunk contest or anything. That might be the best dunk you'll ever see. Frederick Weiss is 7 feet tall, and Vince Carter jumps over him off a steal and dunks the ball. That happened 20 years ago today. I wasn't watching. And I'll tell you why I wasn't watching. And this is going to blow your mind if you're one of those who have been with me this long. September 25th of 2000, we were in our first year doing Mike and Mike. So if you have been with me that long, God bless you and thank you. But 20 years ago today, my wife Stacy and I woke up as a couple and we went to sleep as a family. Because 20 years ago today, our daughter was born, the older of our two children. And she became known on Mike and Mike in our early days as Baby Nikki. She was Baby Nikki because she was a baby, and her name is Nikki. She's 20 today. Baby Nikki is 20. And I know that there are some of you, I don't know how many people, but I know that there are some people right now in their car or their house or wherever it is you are honoring me by spending this time with me who are thinking to yourself, no way. Greeny, there's no way that was 20 years ago, because we talked about it a lot. You know, Mike and I, we talked about our families on the show all the time. And for me, that was really the beginning of it. It's not that you're not a family, but it changes so much when there's a child involved. And now we have two, and I couldn't be more blessed and more fortunate, and we couldn't be more proud of her. But I just thought that would blow your mind if you are one of those who have been with me that long. That was 20 years ago today. And Stace and I were talking upstairs before I came on. How do we have a 20-year-old? But, you know, Kenny Chesney, who is a friend, has a song called Don't Blink. And the older you get, the more you realize it's true. You turn around one day and you're carrying her from one room to the next, and you turn around the next and she's 20 years old. But we couldn't love her more. We couldn't be more proud of everything that she does and everything that she has become and everything she is going. There's nothing I look forward to watching more than everything she is going to be. So I just wanted to mention that. Happy birthday, baby. I love you. And I just knew that there are some of you, I don't know how many, who have the same reaction to this that I do, which is how in the world can that possibly have been 20 years ago? All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. Right now I'm going to throw open the phones. 888-SAY-ESPN is my number. I want you to call me and I want you to give me an upset. I want you to give me an NFL team that is an underdog that is going to win straight up this weekend, and you need to convince me of why. Don't just throw a name at me. I need you to give me an upset in the NFL. Give me an underdog that's going to win straight up and tell me why. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Greeny, the podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so I'm looking for your votes here. I'm looking for some upsets this weekend. I'm looking for dogs. I can find dogs myself. I'm not looking for somebody who's going to cover. I'm looking for somebody who's going to straight up win. So you can cast your vote on my Twitter poll. I have two of them up. I have the LeBron one, but the original one I put up yesterday was I put four teams that I could see pulling off an upset this weekend. Straight up win. Who are underdogs and cast your vote. Could you see the Bengals stunning the Eagles, which would set off just hysteria in Philadelphia? Could you see the Texans knocking off Pittsburgh, get off the schneid behind Deshaun? How about the Packers, who are an underdog Sunday night against New Orleans, or the Cowboys in Seattle? You can cast your vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with the small business experts at SCORE. Find a mentor today at score.org. Meanwhile, I'm at the phones open here. Bubba, let's go. We've got some folks standing by. I'm looking for an upset here. Vinny is first up with Greeny on ESPN Radio. Vinny, give me an upset. Give me a team that's an underdog that's going to win this Sunday.
The New York Giants are going to beat the San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, is that just because of the injuries? I don't find that one surprising. In fact, I was looking right before we came on. What is the line on that game now? Because the 49ers are playing with nobody. The 49ers, the Niners are a 3.5-point favorite. They would be a 10-point favorite if everybody was healthy. But they just ruled out Kittle. So no Garoppolo, no Tevin Coleman, no Raheem Mostert, no Kittle, no Nick Bosa, no Solomon Thomas. They are, and they've been in West Virginia all week because they played the Jets and then they're staying on the East Coast and now they're playing the Giants. So if the Giants don't win this game, then they're not going to pull off an upset the entire year. So, Vinny, I'm with you. That's not a bad call. AJ, you're next up with Greeny on ESPN Radio. Give me an upset, AJ.
Yes, sir. I mean, you got to take the Packers, right? I mean, which Aaron, like, do you want to choose? Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones? They are just the better team. I don't see why they're even the underdogs.
I'm with you, especially in a time when home field advantage doesn't really mean anything. I guess the travel is something. And having to stay in a hotel and whatever else it is, not sleeping in your own bed, not being in the most familiar surroundings. But usually going to New Orleans means playing in that dome, which means playing amongst all those crazy loud fans. And that creates a big home field advantage. We obviously don't have that right now in the time of the pandemic. The Saints are a 3-point favorite. I like that one a lot. To me, I agree with you. That will not feel like an upset to me if the Aarons wind up winning that game. I'm Greeny on ESPN Radio. Tanner, I'm looking for an upset. Give me an underdog that's going to win on Sunday.
I got the Detroit Lions coming up and showing up against the Cardinals. They want revenge for the tie last year. They started out their season off with the tie, which kind of put them in a bad position in the NFC North. But can I give you another one? I got the Dolphins.
Sure.
I think the Dolphins are going to upset the Seahawks.
All right, so that's next week, right? Because the Dolphins played last night and the Seahawks played Dallas. So I have to sit and look at it. They do play Seattle next week. I looked that up because I was wondering if Tua would wind up getting the start there. But let's focus on the first one that you gave us. Rob Ninkovich on Get Up this morning picked that one as well. He liked the Lions to go to Arizona and win that game, mainly because he believed in Matt Patricia, and the head coach of Detroit, and his ability to design a defense. Ninkovich, by the way, he has played for practically every head coach in the NFL. This morning, he was dropping names. Billy O, which is Bill O'Brien, now the head coach of the Texans. B. Flo, which is Brian Flores, who's the coach of the Dolphins. And Matty P., which I'll admit I'd never heard before, is Matt Patricia. And they were all assistant coaches under Belichick. So clearly, the way to become a head coach is to become an assistant in New England. There's that. Secondly, Lions at Arizona. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I think the Cardinals are for real. They are the goods. And the Lions, look, they got worked by Green Bay. They let the Bears come back and beat them in a game they absolutely had won. I sort of like Detroit, and I get it. 0-3 is going to bury them to a degree I wasn't expecting them to get buried. But I am fully on board the Arizona train. I'm on board with the coach. I'm on board with the quarterback. I didn't believe in either of them. I'm the first to tell you when I was wrong. I was wrong about Cliff Kingsbury, and I was wrong about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is sensational. And what obviously helped a lot is that he has the best receiver in the NFL. They made the best offseason move in the NFL, inclusive of all of them. All of them, including the one in Tampa and everything else. None of them will be as meaningful as the Cardinals getting DeAndre Hopkins, because it helps make the quarterback great. And, oh, by the way, it helps make the team great. And the Cardinals go from a team that was 3-13 2 years ago. Thank you for those of you who corrected me. Somehow I had it in my head they were 1-15. They did have the first pick, but they were 3-13. Either way, they've gone from that in the blink of an eye to a team that I think is going to challenge Seattle for the division all year long. Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Who is next? Jacob, you're on ESPN Radio. Give me an underdog that's going to win this Sunday. Jacob.
I believe the Vikings are going to take Tennessee. I know Tennessee's 2-0, but you know they play Denver and Jacksonville, I believe. And Coach Zimmer is just too good of a coach, and their defense, you know, they lost a lot of guys, so I think they're going to come back strong at home.
I like it. I like that a lot. I'm looking at it here. Tennessee at Minnesota. The Titans are a 2.5-point favorite on the road. The Vikings are a conundrum. Like, I find them very difficult to figure. When they traded away Stephon Diggs, I didn't mind that nearly as much as I minded Houston trading away Hopkins. Not so much that Hopkins is better than Diggs, which I think he is, but only marginally so. Stephon Diggs is a great receiver and a difference maker, and you see the dividends he's paying in Buffalo. But I thought to myself, Minnesota wants to be a team that wants to play defense and run the football. That's always been Mike Zimmer's philosophy, and maybe they missed the offensive coaching in Stefanski, but whatever it's been, or maybe Kirk Cousins, I don't know what to say. I thought Cousins would start to turn a corner after the playoff win last year. Went into New Orleans and outplayed Drew Brees in a playoff game and found a way to win in overtime. That felt like taking a big step, and maybe it would help him go to a new level. Certainly hasn't looked that way so far. And if they don't do what you're talking about doing and they don't pull off what would be an upset this week, again, they're a 2.5-point dog at home against a good Titans team. If they don't, they could be buried. 0-3, if Green Bay gets to 3-0, they'd be 3.5 games behind them because the Packers won in Minnesota week one. It's a big game for the Vikings. I like that pick. I have time for one more. Adam, go ahead. You're on ESPN Radio with Greeny. What is your upset special on Sunday? Go.
I take Dallas over Seattle simply because I think they got some new confidence with how Dak performed under those circumstances. And I think they will come out on top. They just take away those turnovers in the first quarter. I think they would have handily beat Atlanta. So they're... Yeah, I think a good confidence coming into that game.
I like it. Yeah, to me, that's a fascinating and really interesting game. Seattle is a 5-point favorite, is what I'm looking at here at home. behind their quarterback who's playing as well as he ever has. And that is saying a lot, because Russell Wilson has been a brilliant quarterback for a long time. But he's never played better than he's playing right now. And he's got great weapons. DK Metcalf has really emerged. I remember DK Metcalf coming into my studio to do Get Up in the draft process. And I didn't know what he looked like facially. And he walked in the door, and I turned to one of my producers and I said, "Who's the linebacker?" And it turns out he's a receiver. DK Metcalf is a monster. And he's so fast and he's so good. That is a magnificent addition. What they have working there, and they got the defense will continue to intimidate people even if they're not great. And Russell is playing great. I think the Seahawks win that game, but I think Dak has a chance to acquit himself very well in a shootout. That's going to be a high-scoring game. I could see that going 31-27, 37-33, something like that. And if so, that'll make Sunday afternoon a lot of fun. Thank you for the calls. We'll keep doing those as we go. Coming up next, a prediction on a quarterback that will never come true, but it absolutely should.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. And as we slide into the weekend, I will invite you, if you have a little time this weekend, to check out my show Better Days on ESPN+. I'm incredibly proud of this show. It came out so well. The fourth and final episode that we have shot so far went up this week. So there's now four of them up there for you to watch. Each one is about 15 minutes long. They're wonderful stories about gamblers. Not about gambling, it's about gamblers and the crazy things they do and the crazy things that happen to them when they win, and more significantly, sometimes when they lose. Anyway, people seem to really enjoy it, and I couldn't be more thrilled. It's called Better Days, and it's on ESPN+. Meanwhile, on TV this morning, we asked our analysts to give us bold predictions, and two of them outdid themselves. Bold predictions usually means, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw for 400 yards, or picking a big underdog to win a game. But these guys kind of outdid themselves. I want you to hear Bart Scott, who was in my studio this morning, his bold prediction looking ahead to this weekend and beyond.
I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals in the upset over the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz struggles, already sacked 8 times on a year, 4 interceptions, and they make a trade for Nick Foles and bring him on home.
How about that? I will admit, and I don't know why, this never entered my mind. And I'm not telling you that I think it's going to happen. It's what I meant when I said a prediction about a quarterback that will never come true, but it should. That did not enter my mind. I did a whole essay on Carson Wentz and his struggles earlier this week, and it got a lot of reaction, most of it favorable. All of it was statistically based. I have no axe to grind or horse in the race, but people are possessive sometimes of their team and their quarterback and all that. I get it. I totally get it. The point is, at no point in that entire thing did I think to myself, you know, Nick Foles is just sitting on somebody's bench right now. And probably the reason not to even consider is that the Bears, I think, know that it's just a matter of time before he's their quarterback. And sitting at 2-0 is not a bad spot to be. You might say it's prolonging it. It also means there's more reason to do it. Because if you think you have a real chance to accomplish something this year and you think you're better with Nick Foles, I don't know how far away they are from making that move anyway. One way or another, it was a very interesting, bold prediction that will not happen from Bart Scott. Then I turned to Rob Ninkovich.
Hey, by the way, Greeny, it's hashtag Bubba.
Yes.
Before we get to that, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Bart Scott say this the exact same way I said it? Let me play this for you.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, he says Bengals. That's
incorrect. So the correct way.
The correct way is Bengals, Ben.
So I just want to know, next time you see Bart, are you going to correct him and tell him the correct way to say it? Or?
Can't wait.
Okay.
I can't wait to do that, to use Bart Scott's own words. Yes, Bart is saying it incorrectly, and so are you. They're
are
not an 80, not an 80s pop band singing Manic
though?
Monday.
Cincinnati,
yes, you're wrong.
Bengals.
Let me get to the next one here. This one is good, and this one might happen, Bubba. You ready for this? Play the Ninkovich bold prediction this morning on Get Up.
The Cleveland Browns will trade Jarvis Landry and not OBJ to the New England Patriots. So watch out. Cam's going to have a target in Landry.
Whoa.
And everyone's going to be super afraid of that.
Interesting. Now that's one. He's not saying that because he doesn't know anything about it. Ninkovich was a captain in Foxborough. And we've talked a lot about exactly the New England Patriots are one player away from being right there with any of the teams in the AFC. Put Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Tennessee, whoever it is you like, whoever it is you think is really good in the AFC, Buffalo. If New England should ever get Jarvis Landry, we've speculated about maybe they get Odell. If they should ever get Jarvis Landry, forget it. So I don't know what he would cost, but I've seen Bill pull off. I will continue to say this. If Antonio Brown had not had all of the off-the-field stuff he had, and that I'm not conflating the two. He deserved everything that happened to him. But if he had just, in an alternative universe where he was just playing for the Patriots last year, they would have won the Super Bowl again and Tom Brady would still be in Foxborough. That's what would have happened. So they're one great receiver away. They don't have that guy. If they got Jarvis Landry, they have that guy. So that'll be very interesting to see. So that's a bold prediction that sounds to me like Ninkovich thinks it's going to happen, and it would be fascinating. All right, let me close with my upset picks because I gave you the four options, and I believe one of them will happen. Dallas at Seattle, Green Bay at New Orleans, Cincinnati at Philadelphia, and Houston at Pittsburgh. I believe one and only one of those four teams will win on the road. And that one is Green Bay. I watched the Saints play Monday night against the Raiders. They are much more dependent on Michael Thomas than any team should be on any player. And that is not diminishing Thomas. But they look like that. Breeze does not look like himself. And obviously not having Thomas out there makes a difference. I think that the Packers defense will get after the quarterback. They're not great, but they're good. They got both Aarons. I think they will run it and throw it on the Saints. I think the Packers are the better team. I'm not exactly sure in the absence of fans why they're even an underdog in this game. Home field advantage isn't worth what it usually is. So I've got the Packers as my upset special this weekend. And again, I don't even think of it as an upset. Thank you so much for spending so much of this week with me. The podcast will be up shortly. It's called Hashtag Greeny. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday, ESPN Radio.
Bengals.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can get more from Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. And don't miss Greeny on Get Up every morning at 8 Eastern on ESPN. Greeny, the podcast.